Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Mem Tes. We're holding on the very top of Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph at the very top of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in honor of an Akarsa Tov for the shiur. Also, on behalf of DailyGiving.org, join me and the 6,000 people in 30 countries over the world that have already joined together to easily perform the mitzvah of tzedakah each and every day. The achdus of this worthy organization really is incredible. Please go to dailygiving.org. Also, in commemoration of the yard site of Aaron ben Shlomo David, Raymond Snitow, whose yard site is on Thursday, the 23rd of Sivan, by the Snitow, Walfish, and Feinberg families, and Shem Shav and Aliyah. Also, by the Psachim boys, who are still here, but later today, not physically here, but are still in it with us, but later today, are celebrating the marriage of the last remaining single member of their Chavrut. Wow, so mazel tov on that. Also by Dr. Stewart and Ellen Shafrin, in loving memory of Ellen's father, Israel Altman, whose 33rd yard site was the 17th of Sivan. He very much valued learning and would have been very proud of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. Also by Rabbi Sabalovsky's shul, congregation Or HaTorah, in honor of the launch of their 48-hour building fund, the campaign, building fund campaign on June 6th and 7th. If you'd like to support Rav Sabalovsky's Harbatzas HaTorah, incredible Harbatzas HaTorah, please visit charity.com/orhatorah. The site is live. It's a wonderful way to show Hakaras HaTov to Rav Sabalovsky Shlita for all the incredible Torah that he teaches. So we are holding again at the very top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph, and first we're going to continue the discussion about Halacha B'Smol, about carrying things with your left hand when you move them around the Beis HaMikdash. And then we're going to get into discussion, what if another Kohen does the Chafina and then pours it onto the hands of the Kohen Gadol? Is that good enough? Does the Kohen Gadol is actually going to bring the Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim after do the Chafina himself, or could another Kohen do the Chafina and pour it onto his hands? And the Gemara is going to discuss what if the Kohen Gadol does the Chafina HaKadoshim and then he dies. How do we handle it at that point? And then the Gemara is going to get into a little bit of a discussion of Refuah on Shabbos, and we're going to bring two rayas about Chofin V'Chozer V'Chofin, whether you could do Chafina more than once. And then the Gemara is going to talk on Amin Beis, what if you shech the par, the Kohen Gadol shechs the par, and then he dies. So how do we handle the Damapar and the Avoda from there on? So let's begin at the top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph at Meisive. So says the Gemara. Again, we're asking on Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes held that Halacha B'Smol is Kshera, that you're allowed to be Molich B'Smol. You're allowed to be Molich with your left hand. So says the Gemara, Meisive, they ask from a Braisa, Zarva Onein V'Shikr U'Balmum. If you have any one of these people, you have a person who's not a Kohen, or a person who is a Kohen, but he's an Onen, so he's not allowed to do the Avoda, or a person who is a Kohen, but he's a Shikr, he was already Shosa Yayin, he drank wine, so he's not allowed to do the Avoda. Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen that Shikr is who understands that it's a Shikr Machma Shardvar Mamashachrim, and he brings a Raya from the Gemara in Bechoros Daf Mem Hei, but the Ritzba quotes from their Raya that Rashi is correct, that Shikr means Shikr Miyayin, not Mishar Dvar Mamashakram. But whatever it is, you have a Kohen who should not be doing the Avodah because he's a Shikr, or a Balmum, a Kohen who is a Balmum, so also should not be doing the Avodah. So, Bekabala Ubahalacha Ubizrika Pasul. If they do Kabbalah Saddam, or key for us, Halacha Saddam, or Zrika Saddam, it's Pasul. And not only these categories of people, not only non Kohanim, and these Kohanim who should not be doing the Avodah, but Vechain Yoshev, Vechain Smol. If you have a perfectly good Kohen who's doing the Avodah, but he does one of these Avodahs while sitting down, or he does one of these Avodahs with his left hand, and that's key. Any one of these Avodahs, Kabbalah, Halacha, or Zrika, with his left hand, Pasul, it's Pasul, the Avodah is going to be Pasul. So you see explicitly that Halacha B'Smol is going to be Pasul. Isn't that a Kasher Rav Sheshes? Rav Sheshes said that Halacha B'Smol is Kasher. So says Gemara Tiyufta, yeah, that's a pretty good Kasher Rav Sheshes. That's a rejection of Rav Sheshes. says, what about the fact that he carries, we proved yesterday that it's okay, Rav Shesh has proved that he's allowed to do it, because he carried the kaf of Ketores with his left hand when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Ritva points out, that's because bringing the Ketores doesn't even require a kli. It's only because you can't bring it biyado, because of the reason we explained Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, that he's got to bring it bikli, because he has no way to bring it biyado and then juggle the Gechalim and the Ketores, and that's why he's allowed to bring it small, because it doesn't even require a kli. But the halacha sevarim to the kevesh hamizbeach, which we also brought a raya from the Karban Tamid, he'd have to bring the head in his right hand and the right hind leg in his left hand, so he's carrying something in his left hand. That's because that's not ma'akev the kapara. And we have two interpretations yesterday what it means, not ma'akev the kapara. Either that the bringing it to the entire burning of the limbs is not ma'akev the kapara, or the halacha itself is not ma'akev the kapara. But the point is, when it's not ma'akev the kapara, then maybe we'll allow it to be small. But that's not a raya necessarily to regular avoda, which is ma'akev the kapara. So that's why we have a brisa against Rav Sheshes that tells us that halacha b'smol is no good. So now the Gemara says, how could Rav Sheshes have made such a mistake? How could Rav Sheshes have allowed halacha b'smol when you have a brisa mufreshes not that way? For Rav Sheshes, who da usva? Rav Sheshes used to quote this brisa all the time. It's one thing to say Rav Sheshes didn't know the brisa, he was unaware. He's the one that quoted this brisa. D'amalei Rav Sheshes ta'amore d'Rav Chista, Rav Sheshes told the amore d'Rav Chista, the one who used to help Rav Chista say over the shir, that boy me name Rav Chista, that ask Rav Chista the following, halacha bizar mahu, what does Rav Chista say about a non-Kohen doing the halacha? Is it going to be kosher? Or do you say no, that you need dafka a Kohen? So the Meturgaman asked Rav Chista that shaila, and amalei Rav Chista responded, k'sheira, that it's perfectly fine for a zar to do the halacha. Mesayeni and have a raya from a pasuk, because when the pasuk talks about kravas karban pesach by Yoshio Melch Yehuda and Sefer Divrei Yamim, the pasuk says veishchatu haPesach veizruku haKohanim yadam valeviim mafshitim. So it says veishchatu haPesach veizruku haKohanim. So it sounds like the Kohanim only did the zrika. The shchita was done by zarim, and miyadam means that the Kohanim were mekabel the dam haPesach from the zarim who shechted the karban pesach, and then they were zorikin on the mizbeach. So it sounds like after the Kohanim did the Kabbalah Sadam from the Behema, they then handed it off to Zarim, who then walked the Dam to the Mizbech. And then the Kohanim were Mekabel that Dam and were Zarikin on the Mizbech. So you see that Allah is Ksher Bazar. So most of Rav Sheshes asked on that, on Rav Chista, that it says in the Braisa, Zar, Va'onein, Shikr, Balmum, Kabbalah, Ba'alach, Bezrika, Puzzle, V'chein Yoshe, V'chein Smol, Puzzle. Rav Sheshes is the one that quoted this Braisa that said that Allah Bizarre is possible, and the Brisa also said that halacha b'smal is possible. So how could Rav Sheshes make the mistake to say that halacha b'smal is going to be kosher? So answers Gemara very simply: Basar d'shma'a hadar osva. After he had heard this Brisa as a kasha on himself, he then used it in the future to ask it as a kasha on those who said that halacha bizarre is going to be kosher. So he brought a raya from this Brisa that halacha bizarre is going to be possible, just like halacha b'smal, just like it was proven to him that halacha b'smal is possible. So says Mar Rav Chista Kraka Amar. But how does Rav Sheshes prove Rav Chista wrong from the Brisa? Rav Chista had a pasuk. The pasuk said Ve'izuku Hakohanim Miyadam. And how's that Brisa going to fit with the pasuk? So answers Gemar Da'av Ma'ase Itzdava, that the pasuk does not mean that the zarim who shechted the Karban Pesach were also molich the dam from the Kohanim who were mekabel the dam and were then molich and brought it to the Kohanim or Zorek. It means that they were no bizarim ki itztava, that they were like a piece of stone that just stood there. They were like a pedestal that just stood there, meaning the Kohanim were mekabel the dam, and they just gave it to the Zorim to hang on to for a second, just like you would put it on an itztava, just like you'd put something down on a platform, on a pedestal, and the Zorim didn't do anything with it. They were not makrav the dam any closer to the Mizbeach. Then the Kohanim took it from them and were Zorik it on the Mizbeach, but they just had the Zorim hold on to it for a minute. That's all the Zarim did. So it's not a raya. The pasuk is not a raya against the Brisa. The Brisa could still be correct. Now this idea, why did they have the Zarim involved at all? What did the Zarim have to hold on to the blood like in Itzvah? There is a discussion in the minug by a bris mila that there's a minug of kvater, that you have someone bring in the baby and hand the baby off to to somebody else, and then ultimately it goes via Ben Liada Sandik, and ultimately the Bris Mila starts. But the basis of that minhag is quoted in Otzer Kol Minhagi Yishurin based on our sugya, that when Pasuk says V'yishchu Tuva Pesach V'yizuku Hakana Miyadam V'alviyam Afshitim, that Miyadam comes to teach us that the Zarim were Mekabel from the Kohen Gadol, from the Dam, from the Kohen who was Mekabel the Dam Bikli, and then they would just stand there Ki'itztava, but they didn't actually move the Dam at all. So what were they used for? So you see that it's the covet of the mitzvah to get more people involved. Just by getting Yisrael involved, just to sit there holding the dam for a minute, that's a covet of the mitzvah. So you see, that's a raya from there. That when you're doing a mitzvah, you try to get more people involved. Berava Amadras Melech, you try to get more people involved in the mitzvah. That's what we've pointed out in the past. When you take out the Sefer Torah, instead of having the Chazan come and take out the Sefer Torah and carrying it himself to the Bima and then leaning from the Torah, you know, and doing everything, you have the Chazan, you have someone doing Psicha and hands it to the Chazan, and the Chazan brings it to the Bima, and the Balkari reads. You don't have the Balkari just do the whole thing. You get as many people as possible to be involved. But some of the Achronim give another reason for the minhag of Kvater. They say based on that's Rav Amhadras Melech is basically what they say. Now there is a discussion in Poskim: should you have as many people involved as possible? Meaning, why only honor one person or one couple as kvater? Maybe honor like everybody in the shul as kvater, just pass the baby around to everybody else. So I think Rav Menashe Klein has a tshuva where he says you can't do that. It's a little baby. Baby is very vulnerable. You're going to have you're risking the chance of dropping. You're risking the chance of someone coughing on the baby or whatever. You don't want to get too many people involved because that's it's an unnecessary risk for the baby. Okay, so says Gemara. Now going back to the din of Chafinas Haktoras and Yom Kippurim. So says the Gemara, by Rav Papa, Chafan Chavero. Let's say someone other than the Kohen Gadol did the Chafina. V'nasan l'to Chafnav. Then the Kohen Gadol just stood there with his hands out like this, and the person put the Chafina, the Haktoras, into his hands. So Mahu, what's the din? Is that going to be kosher l'Haktara? You're allowed to do the Haktoras Haktoras in such a way. When the Torah says V'lokach umlo Chafnav Haktoras Hamdaka Vehevi Mibay. So does Melo Chafnav Be'inan? Do you need it to be that he brings to the Kodesh HaKadoshim Melo Chafnav Vayika? And he's doing that. He has Melo Chafnav. He has hands full of Ketorah, so he's in fulfillment of that. Odilma V'lokach V'hevi Be'inan. Or maybe no, you need him to do the Lakicha. You need him to do the V'lokach. You need him to be the one to scoop out the Ketorah V'aleka. And that he didn't do. Someone else scooped out the Ketorah. So that's the Shaila that Rav Papa raises. Tosos points out that Rav Papa already had the suffix when it came to Beina Etzba'os of the Ketores, whether it's considered Kimelo Chafnav or not. And that's how Tosos understood the Shaila in that case as well, that is it a fulfillment? Do you need V'lakach? In which case he was not V'lakach, the Ketores that was between his fingers, because his intention was only to be V'lakach what's in his hand, so it's not a fulfillment of V'lakach, or do you just need Melo Chafnav? And this is part of Melo Chafnav. So it's the same suffix, the same Tzadeya suffix, and where here we have the suffix again. So Tos suggests that Rav Papa said all of his sveikos in an imtim tzolomar, that the suffix previously was imtim tzolomar, that which is bein ha'etzba'os is not bechlal v'lokach v'hevi, because it's not ba b'koach l'kichas ha'adam. So then we could be mistapek when chafan chavero, and there is a l'kichas ha'adam. It wasn't this person, it was another person, but at least there was a l'kichas ha'adam, at least someone intentionally took all of that ketores. So, or do you say that it's still possible? Because no, you need him to be the one that's v'lokach. So it's like an imtim tzolomer building off of the previous shayla. In fact, it's so clearly building off of the previous shayla. Tos Yishanim says this doesn't belong over here. We already had that was yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf was all the sveikos of Rav Papa, and the end of the previous day's daf, which we learned yesterday, was all the sveikos. Rav Papa's eight sveikos about how to do chafina and how to do kmitza. So doesn't this belong over there? Why doesn't the Gemara bring this suffik of Rav Papa together with all the rest of the sveikos of Rav Papa? So the Ritva suggests that it's mistaver that Rav Papa had this suffik together with the other sveikos, and the Gemara just brings it over here because it wants to bring the suffix of Rabbi Shob and Levi that we're about to bring and we're going to delve into. So that's why it brings it over here, even though in a chinami this belongs with the rest of Rav Papa's sveikos. So this one, like six out of the eight sveikos that Rav Papa raised yesterday, teku, is left with a teku, but really fits in that pattern. But all of this is brought over here just to introduce the following by Rabbi Shob and Levi. Rabbi Shob and Levi raised the following shaila: Chafanu meis mahu sheikat mayu sheikat. Achar b'chafinaso. If a Kohen Gadol did the chafinas haktoros and then he died before he had the chance to bring the ktoros into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, can another Kohen Gadol, whoever takes his place, bring the chafina of the first Kohen Gadol in the calf into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So I'm Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina told those who asked this shayla, told Rabbi Shobel Levi, Bo rei shayla sarishonim. Look at that, this dor was zocha to be as wise as earlier doros and to ask the same shayla that earlier doros asked. What does he mean? I asked the same shayla, and now I hear it in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, and Rabbi Shimon Levi was from an earlier generation. Wow, so I was mechavin, not only am I asking good kashas, I'm asking kashas that were asked in earlier generations. I was mechavin to, we assume that there's a Yerida Sadora, so it's very invigorating to know that you're asking the same kasha as those in earlier generations. So says Gemara, wait, is that true? Rabbi Chanina is from a later generation than Rabbi Shimon Levi? The name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, kashish? Does that mean to suggest that Rabbi Shimon Levi is older than Rabbi Chanina? That's what it sounds like. Rabbi Chanina saying, "Ah, oh, I was zochet to ask the same question as Rabbi Shimon ben Levi." V'am Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, li hiter Rabbi Chanina lishtos shachlayim b'shabbes. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi reported that Rabbi Chanina allowed me to drink shachlayim, a certain type of drink on Shabbos that might be asur mishum refuah, but he was matir that it's not considered to be refuah. The issue of refuah, of course, the Gemara on Shabbos tells us is gzeir mishum shchika sammanim, that you're not allowed to take a medication on Shabbos because of a gzera that you might come to be tochen, you might come to grind up the medication on Shabbos. It's going to be an issur of tochen, but there are certain foods and drinks that are not included in this issur. So this shachlayim, this crest drink, whatever it is, he, Rabbi Chanina, allowed me to do. So the Gemara explains what the heter was first, and then we'll get to the kasha. So says the Gemara, lishtos, to drink something on Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon Levi needs Rabbi Chanina to give him a heter? Pshit, of course you're allowed to do that. Ditznan, the Mishnah Shabbos says on Daf Kuf Tes, Kola uchon ochel adam l'refua, any food that a person would normally eat, you're allowed to eat for the sake of refua, meaning on Friday nights, it's a pretty much a staple in many Jewish households that you have chicken soup. So what, a person who has a cold is not allowed to eat chicken soup on Friday night? He's of course enjoying the refua that he's going to have. We were just talking to Rav Shechter on Friday about Hilchus Yom HaKippurim, because the yeshiva is putting together a sefer on these inyanim. So we were asking about whatever it was, about certain people, whether they should be fasting or not. So he said he saw somewhere that someone said the Jewish people figured out how to fast in the best way possible, that they have chicken soup before the fast. They have a sudam of sekes, and they have chicken soup which has high salt content, so it holds a lot of water, so you're able to drink a lot of water before the fast and the body's able to hold the water. So there are many therapeutic reasons that a person might have chicken soup, but we also think chicken soup is delicious. So a person can eat chicken soup l'refua, and the chacham where not goes there, mishum shchika sammanim v'kalam mashkin shosa, and all drinks a person that a normal person would drink. You could have a hot tea, you're allowed to drink tea before, on Shabbos, even though it's good for your throat and it's good for whatever tea is good for. It's even good for your stomach, I don't know, whatever your mother told you tea is good for, you believe her, so it's good for all these things to drink tea on for refuah. And nevertheless, since people drink tea anyway, so you're allowed to drink it on Shabbos. So shachlayim is also, apparently a normal thing that people would bring. So with people who drink. So Rabbi Shimon Levi needs a heter from Rabbi Chanina to do it. Everyone knows that. Kol Bar Bei Rav D'Chad Yoma knows that you're allowed to have these things on Shabbos. Now, Ella Lishchok V'Lishto Shechayim B'Shabbos. No, what he's saying is that he needed him to be matir, even though it's usher to grind up on Shabbos because of Melach of Tochein, he allowed him to do that on Shabbos, to grind it up and to drink it on Shabbos. Say, Echidami. Well, what do you mean he allowed him to grind it up on Shabbos? Idika Sakanta, if it was a Cholosh Yesh B'Sakanta and he was going to die otherwise, then Mishra Shari, then of course it's mutter. Pikuach nefesh dolcha Shabbos. Everyone needs to know that. You need to know that without asking a shayla, right? You need to know right away that if something's pikuach nefesh, that you're mechal Shabbos for it. V'idaleka sakanta, and if there's no sakana, meisar asir. Then it's wrong. Then how could Rabbi Chanina have been matir it? You're not allowed to grind things up on Shabbos. So the Gemara explains what the case was. Liolam. Deika sakanta. It was a case of sakana. V'achi kami ba'ile. But the shayla that Rabbi Shimon Levi had was mi masya. Does this drink actually do anything? Tenecha alayu shabata. So that we should then be mechal Shabbos for it. Olo masya. Or maybe it doesn't accomplish anything. V'lo necha alayu shabata. Meaning the chol is the chol sheish basakana. But you can only do things that help the chol sheish basakana. So that was his question. Rabbi Shimon Levi asked Rabbi Chanina, is this something that's actually therapeutic? So umayshe Rabbi Chanina. Why did he ask Rabbi Chanina more so than any of the other chachamim if it's therapeutic. Mishum to baki berufuasu, because Rabbi Chanina was a doctor. Dam Rabbi Chanina meolam l'shal niyadam alnaka prayed the levana v'chaya, because Rabbi Chanina once. How do we know Rabbi Chanina was a medical expert? Because he said no one ever asked me a shaila about getting struck by a white mule and how to achieve a refuah and survived that ordeal. So you see that he's the one that knew how to treat things, because he was able to report that everyone always died. So says Gemara, what do you mean? We see all the time that people live from being struck by a white mule. So ema v'chayis. No. What he means to say is the makkah never healed. Meaning he's telling you that this makkah, that when you're struck by a white mule, is never going to heal. There is no refuah. But he's only a doctor would know that there is no available refuah. So he obviously had this medical expertise. Says Gemara, v'chachazina demitasi. But we do see that it heals. So what do you mean? He seems to be wrong. Says Gemara, besumkan inhu v'chivarin resh karayu karminan. Now we're talking about a mule whose body is red and the tips of its feet are white. That's where we say that there's no refuah for the makkah. So whenever you see that there is a refuah for the makkah, that always means that it's purely a white mule. So says Gemara. But bottom line is mikal makom shamin Rabbi Chanina kashish. Bottom line is Rabbi Shimon Levi was asking a shaila of Rabbi Chanina. Granted, it was a medical shaila, but he was asking a shaila of Rabbi Chanina. So how can Rabbi Chanina say I was zocha to the shaila that earlier generations asked? Rabbi Shimon Levi asked. Rabbi Shimon Levi used to ask a shaila of Rabbi Chanina. It sounds like Rabbi Chanina was older. Rabbi Chanina was not from a later generation. Sometimes you do have a Rebbe from an early generation. The Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Brachos tells us that David was a Talmud of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was Mevayish Pnei David Ba'alacha. David wouldn't move. David HaMelech wouldn't move without asking Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was his nephew. Mephibosheth was his best friend's son. And nevertheless, he would ask him all of his shailas. But over here, the point is that She'ilas HaRishonim, that's how Rabbi Chanina said it. Not just that Rabbi Shimon Levi is smarter than me, but that he was Min HaRishonim. And you see that Rabbi Shimon Levi is consulting with Rabbi Chanina. So Elah HaChikamer. No, when Rabbi Chanina said to his Talmidim that that the later generations asked the She'ilas HaRishonim, he's saying She'ilas and She'ilas HaRishonim. He's saying, take a look at the Shaila that Rabbi Shimon Levi just asked, that how wonderful it is that he was Mechavim to my Shaila. It was like a Rebbe having Nachas from his Talmud, that the Talmud asked the Shaila, and he says, look, the Talmud asked the same Shaila of the Rebbe, but Eina Chinami, Rabbi Chanina was the Rebbe. Rabbi Chanina was the one that was older. So when it was reported that Rabbi Shimon Levi asked the Shaila, Rabbi Chanina was very proud of Rabbi Shimon Levi for asking this Shaila. Well, one thing that emerges over here is Rabbi Chanina was a Baki Berufuah. So Rabbi Chanina was apparently a doctor. There is a Mordechai in the fifth parak of Gittin that quotes a Maisa of a certain Kohen who was Yotzak Mayim al Yadav Shel Rabbeinu Tam, that a Kohen washed Rabbeinu Tam's hands for him. So there was a Talmud that was standing there, and he said, Rabbeinu Tam, how are you allowed to do this? The Yerushalmi tells us in Maseches Brachos that a Mishtamish Bekuna Ma'al. You're not allowed to be Mishtamish Bekohen. How can you have a Kohen washing your hands? So Rabbeinu Tam said that Kohanim don't have any Kedusha B'zman Hazeh because they ain't Bigdeyam Aleim. B'zman Shebigdeyam Aleim Kunasim Aleim. B'zman Shein Bigdeyam Aleim Ain Kunasim Aleim. So they don't have Bigdey Kuna. So Mela, it's Mutul Mishtamish Bekohen. So the Talmud said to Rabbeinu Tam, but we call them first to the Torah. We have them lead the benching. We Kohanim, we do Pidyon HaBen. All of these things. What do you mean there's no Kedusha to Kohanim? We treat Kohanim with a lot of respect. So if that's the case, how can you be Mishtamish Bekohen? So Rabbeinu Tam didn't answer, Mordechai says. He was Shasak. Rabbeinu Tam was just quiet. He didn't respond to the question. And then there was one of the other Balei Atosos that was present, Rabbeinu Peter. He's quoted a couple of times in Shas. And Rabbeinu Peter responded to the Taina of that Talmud, and he says, you're right, Kohanim have Kedusha, but a Kohen is able to be Mochel in that Kedusha. And that's why Rabbeinu Tam was allowed to be Mishtamish, the Kohuna, because the Kohen was Mochel in the Kedusha. And that's what the Ramah Paskins in Hilchos Birchus Kohanim, in some Kuf Chav Ches, in Or HaChaim, that you're not allowed to be Mishtamish Bekohen, even Bezman HaZeh, and it's like you're Mol Behegdish, unless he was Mochel. But if he's Mochel, then you're allowed to be Mishtamish Bekohen. And the Chidah, the Birka Yosef, says that Rov Rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Peter and hold that he cannot be Mochel, and the Mechila does not work, and it's also the Mishtamish Bekohen, even if he is Mochel. The Mishaburu quotes this group of Achronim that say the Kohen doesn't even have the ability to be Mochel. So in the Tshuva's Zerachayim, he raises the question, if going to a Kohen who's a doctor is a violation of being Mishtamish Bekohen, meaning especially if you hold that he cannot be Mochel, so you're allowed to go to a Kohen who happens to be a doctor to treat you medically, or is that called that you're being Mishtamish Bekohen? If you hold that Mechila works, so then for sure it's going to be okay, because a Kohen is allowed to be Mochel al Kavodah if you hold like Rabbeinu Peter. But according to those that hold that Mechila Mechila does not work. So is it a violation of Me'ila? So he brings a raya from our Gemara. Rabbi Chanina was a baki b'refuos. He was apparently a doctor. He said the people used to ask him questions all the time for refuah-related issues. He was also a Kohen. The Gemara Masechet Bechorah says that he was makabel money for Pidyon HaBen. So if he was makabel money for Pidyon HaBen, obviously he was a Kohen. So if there's an Isser to be mishtamish b'rofei Kohen, how did Rabbi Chanina practice medicine? Nowadays, Kohanim practicing medicine is a different shayla. That's a shayla about going to medical school and about being in hospitals all the time and becoming tamei lemeisim. But then they didn't have cadavers that they were practicing on. There was no shayla like that. The only shayla was whether people are allowed to use that doctor. He could be a doctor all he wants, but no one's allowed to go to him for refuah. So that was so you see a raya from Rabbi Chanina that you're allowed to do it. So why talk are you allowed to do it? So he writes that the reason is because he gets paid. So that's not called being mishamish b'kohen. Adrabah, it's called you're giving him parnasa. So since he gets paid for his services, so that's why you're allowed to do it. Okay, so anyway, that's the discussion about the Shailas HaRishonim. So now, Rabbi Chanina said that even though he asked the same Shailas Rabbi Shimon Levi, that he asked the same Shailas Rabbi Shimon Levi, and the Shailas was, now let's get back to the actual Shailas, that if a Kohen Gadol did the Chafina and then he dies, so is it the replacement Kohen Gadol allowed to take the Kaf Ketores that the first Kohen Gadol did the Chafina on and bring that Lifnai V'Lifnim? So Miyam Rabbi Chanina. So he said that so he wanted to know if he's allowed to do this. So Miyam Rabbi Chanina Hachi, could it be that Rabbi Chanina said that there's a suffix in such a case whether when one Kohen Gadol did the Chafina Sakhtores, whether the next Kohen Gadol is allowed to take it in? Vam Rabbi Chanina, but the Kohen Rabbi Chanina told us that a Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim is Bipar Velo Bedomushal Par, that he goes in Bipar after he brings the Par Chatas and Ishachzu, but not Bedomushal Par that another Kohen Gadol brought. Meaning, if the first Kohen Gadol dies after the shechita of the par, the Kohen Gadol that takes over for him is not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the dam of the par of the first guy. He needs to bring his own par. And Rabbi Chanina says that if you did a chafinas haketores before the shechita sapar, then it's invalid. So wait a second. The first Kohen Gadol did the shechita sapar, but that's going to have to be done over again. So the first Kohen Gadol did the chafina, and now the second Kohen Gadol is going to have to do a new Shechita Sapar. How could he possibly use the Chafina of the first Kohen Gadol? The Chafina of the first Kohen Gadol was before the Shechita Sapar, because I'm going to have to do a new Shechita Sapar. The replacement's going to have to do a new Shechita Sapar. So you see very clearly he's going to have to do his new Chafina. So why does Rabbi Chanina say that he asked this Shaila? It's not a Shaila according to Rabbi Chanina. He's going to have to do a new one for sure. So from the fact that Rabbi Shimon Levi had this suffix when the Kohen Gadol did the Chafina and dies, whether the next Kohen Gadol could go and with that chafina, mechlal de savar, that implies that he doesn't hold like me. He holds like those who disagree with me, that a Kohen Gadol could enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim bipar v'afilu b'domu shel par. Not only with the par that he shechted himself, but even with the dam of a par that another Kohen Gadol had shechted. And he doesn't have to bring dafka the dam of a par that he himself had shechted. The previous Kohen Gadol could have shechted it, and he's just the replacement, and he's allowed to go in with the blood of that par. So according to what Rabbi Shimon Levi holds, that a Kohen Gadol that's appointed after the Shechitas HaPar of the previous Kohen Gadol is able to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without shechting his own par, then it's a good Shaila. Can he also go in with the Chafinas HaKatoras of the first one? Then Sheilas HaKashelas HaRishonim. Then the Shaila is like the Shailas HaRishonim. Not my Shaila, he's saying. Shailas HaRishonim does, he's not referring to himself. He's referring to those who disagreed with him about the par of Afilu B'Dano Shal Par. Meaning I had a machlokas with other people in my generation whether a replacement Kohen Gadol is allowed to go in with the previous Kohen Gadol's dam. I happen to all know, and according to me, there's no shaila about the Ketores. Obviously, he's going to have to do the Ketores again. But for those who disagreed with me, you have a shaila about the Ketores. So Rabbi Shimon Levi shaila is a good shaila according to those who disagree with me. That's the shaila sarishonim. So how do we paskin? So my havi'ala, what's the achra la'alacha in Rabbi Shimon Levi's shaila? Do we paskin that if a Kohen Gadol does chafinas haketores and drops dead, that the replacement Kohen Gadol is allowed to just bring in that Ketores to the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So I'm Rav Papa. Papa, Ichofen, Choser, Vichofen, Chaver, Nichnas, Bechafinaso. That Rav Papa explained that this din is totally how you're going to be poshet the Safek that we're going to bring soon, whether a Kohen Gadol has to Chafina, one Chafina before he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that he's Chofen the Ketores from the Kli that's sitting there, or aside from that, he has to be Chofen again in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where he's Chofen the Ketores from the spoon that was placed there and he puts it into the shovel. Meaning, if the din is that chofen, that he's does a chafina outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then chozer v'chofen, he does another chafina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so if he did the chafina b'chutz, and then he dies, chaveru nichnas b'chafina, so then the replacement Kohen Gadol could enter into with his chafina, and he doesn't have to do another chafina sakatoras from the Kli to mekayim chafina, because he's going to be mekayim chafina anyway. He's going to have to do it again anyway in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But if you hold that there is no second chafina b'fnim, then tibaylach, then you have a shayla, can the second Kohen Gadol get away without doing any chafina? Meaning, if you hold that and under normal circumstances the Kohen Gadol does chafina twice, once on the outside and then another time after it's l'fnai v'l'fnim, then there's no shayla. The Kohen Gadol did the chafina, he died, the next Kohen Gadol could just take that same ketores and bring it in, because he's going to have to do a chafina anyway when he goes inside. So he's not going to, the Kohen Gadol, it's actually Makdir the Ketores, is going to be doing Chafina anyway. But if you hold that there's only one Chafina Saketores, and that's done by Chutz, so now you have a Shaila. What if the guy, the original Kohen Gadol did the Chafina Saketores, dropped dead, and now the new Kohen Gadol is just going to bring the Ketores in, but he's not going to do any Chafina. So that's the Shaila. So I'm going to refer to the Rav Yishur, the Rav Papa, Ad Rabba. I'll tell you the opposite. That he Chofin, because of Chofin, no, you're going to Sacher b'Chafina. So that if you have to do two Chafinas, then the second Kohen Gadol cannot go in with the Chafina of the first Kohen Gadol, because how can he get the same exact hands full as the first Kohen Gadol? The first Kohen Gadol did a Chafina Sakhtaras with his hands. His hands are by definition going to be slightly different size than whoever takes over for him. So how can you do a Chafina on the same exact Ketores with the spoonful of the same exact Ketores that the first Kohen Gadol did a Chafina with? You're going to be Chaser Yoser. You're going to have it too little or too much. And he ain't Chofin because of Chofin to Bailach. The only Shaila is, if I don't have to do another Chafina anyway, so now can you have a second Kohen Gadol, the replacement Kohen Gadol, go in and do the Chafina? So the Ibayilu, because this was a Shaila, Chofin because of Chofin Olo. How did they do the Yavoda? Did they do a second Chafina, Lefnai V'Lefnim, or not? So it says, well, let's try to be poshet the Safek. Tashema. The our Mishnah said that he's chafin melo chafinov. He puts it into a kaf. So agadol fi gadol va'akadol fi kat. No, we said kach chayisa midasa. That was the measure. My love, k'shem shemidasa bechutz kach midasa mibifnim. Doesn't it mean to say that the same midah that they would be chafin mibechutz before he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with that same measurement he'd be chafin bifnim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So you see, mefurish that he's chafin v'chazer v'chafin. Meaning that's what it means. Kach chayisa midasa. That it would happen twice. The chafina would happen again. So it says, no, maybe it means that the Mishnah means to say that if he wants to make a clay midah, he wants to have a measuring cup for the chafina, not to do it by hand, he's allowed to make a measuring cup. And the measuring cup should be a gadol fi gadol, v'akatol fi katol. No, it should relate to the size of his hands. Inami, or we could explain that kachleis midasa means shleyach v'shleyosir, that he can't do any less or any more than melo chafnaf at the time that he does chafina. It has to be exactly a melo chafnaf. So the Gemara tries to be poshet the suffik. Tashma will bring a raya to be poshet the suffik. So meaning whether you're chofin v'chozer v'chofin. So Kate Saduos, so the Brisa says, after the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when he's mechata, when the shovel with coals is in his right hand, the kaf of the ketores is in his left hand. So Kate Saduos, how does he do a second chafina of ketores inside? The kaf has exactly a melo chafnaf. So you can't like scoop out from a kaf that has exactly a melo chafnav, because you're never going to scoop everything out. You're not going to fit your hands in and scoop every last bit of ketores out. So it's not shayich chafina from the kaf. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to flip the kaf over and empty it into your hands. Problem is, you need both hands for the Chafinas HaKetores. So if I'm holding a ladle and I need to empty all the contents of the ladle into both of my hands, how do I pull off such a trick? How do I take the... I don't have a second person. He's Lefnai V'Lefnim. There's no second person that can help him out. There's no second person that could dump the ladle, the contents of the ladle, into his hands. So what does he do? So he asks that this is a very hard thing to do. Ochez es habazach b'rashay etzpa'osav. He holds the spoon of the ladle in his with his fingertips on his two hands, and the yeshomrim b'shinav, and some say he holds the spoon with his teeth. Umayla, and then he picks up umayla b'gudalo. He uses his two thumbs to lift up the handle of the spoon toward his body a little bit. Ad shemagas lebein atzile yadav, until it gets in between his elbows. V'chozer makzira l'tochafnav. So remember, there was a long handle of on this ladle. So he would hold the spoon like this, and then the long handle would go in between his elbows. I can't even get my elbows together. Is that normal? So he'd hold his elbows together like that, and then he would like adjust his elbows to flip. He'd lift up the spoon with his thumb so that the spoon was elevated, and then he'd wiggle his elbows to the point that the spoon would be turned upside down, to like rotate it upside down and empty out into his hands. So and then vitzovra, and it would pile up in his vitzovra. Then when he puts the ketores on the gechalim, he doesn't spread it out throughout the entire shovel of the gechalim, because then it would burn too quickly. So tzovra kedei she yehei ashana shoa lavo. He would spread it out so that he would pile it up rather, so that it would take a while to burn through and the smoke would come up slowly. The yeshamim, and some say no, mifazra. He would spread out the ketores kedei she ashana meheres lavo. He'd evenly spread out the ketores over the gechalim so that it could burn more quickly. So and v'zui avod hakashish of mikdash. And doing this whole haketores haketores is avod hakashish of mikdash. It's the hardest thing to do in the Beis HaMikdash. Says Gemara, Zu hi v'su lo, is that the only hard avodah to do in the Beis HaMikdash? V'yika melika, v'yika kmitza. What about melika, melika sa'of with the fingernail? That's not an easy thing to do. What about kmitza of the carbon mincha? We said that's an avodah kasha. Sa'ela zu hi avodah kasha, me avodah kasha shem mikdash. This is one of the hardest things to do. So there's a list of three hardest things to do, and this is one of them. So Shrabina, chofin v'chaz v'chofin, Shrabina, but you do see that he needs to do another chafin ha-sakhtaras in the Kodesh. He can't just take the spoon and empty it out over the gechalim. He needs to put it back into his hands, get the ketores back into his hands, chafinas haketores, and then spread it out over the gechalim or pile it up on top of the gechalim. So you see that there is a double chafina. Now, we had quoted previously, we had a discussion whether the Kohen Gadol is able to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim Yom Kippurim only if he himself brought the parchatas and shechted it and was mekabel its dam, or you could take a dam of parchatas that another Kohen Gadol that had served previous to him had brought. So now the Gemara brings this suffix. Yibaylu shachat u'meis. Kohen Gadol shachs the power of Yom Kippurim, his own power of Yom Kippurim. Then he dies before he's already done. Maushei kanis acher bidamo. Can another Kohen, the replacement Kohen Gadol, go in with that dam? Mi amrinan bepar afilu bidamo shapar. Do we say that bepar means that the Kohen Gadol is nichnas into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the power that he himself brought, and that means he can even go bidamo shapar with the dam of a power that someone else had shechted? Odilma bepar v'lo b'dama shel par, or maybe bepar means not with the dam of the par, meaning only with your own par. So Rabbi Chanina omer bepar v'lo b'dama shel par. It's got to be your own. Reish Lakish omer bepar afilu b'dama shel par. That it could even be the previous Kohen Gadol's par. Rabbi Ami omer bepar v'lo b'dama shel par. Rabbi Zknaf omer bepar v'afilu b'dama shel par. So you have the same machlokas in another generation of Amoraim. So Yisvi Rabbi Ami l'Rabbi Zknafcha. Rabbi Ami challenges Rabbi Zknafcha that when it comes to the Karban Pesach, it says nim nim moshkin day in Mimenu, that anyone wants to register on the Karban Pesach can do so, or can unregister from it ad sheyishachet, until it's shechted. But once it's shechted, you can no longer be registered or unregistered on the Karban Pesach. So we learned that the Minu and the Pesach and the Bittel Aminu can only be done on a seh, right? The Torah says a seh. So you see that a seh is only while it's still alive. Once it's shechted, it's not called seh. V'emisa, but if that's correct, that if you're correct, that after the Shechita Sapar, it's still called a par, then you should still be able to be nimna on the Karban Pesach even after it's dead, because it's still called a seh. So how can we darshan from the fact that the Torah calls the Korban Pesach a seh, that you can only register up until the time of the shechita. If you hold that an animal is still called a par even after its shechita, so it should still be called a seh even after the shechita. Says Marashayin Yasim Dechsiv Miyos Miseh Mechiyusei Deseh. No, it's called a seh after it dies, but the Pesach doesn't just say seh, it says Mihiyos Miseh. Sounds like it has to be Chiyusei Deseh. The seh has to still be alive. So Masav Marzutra, Marzutra raises the following challenge. The Torah tells us that Kol Peter Hamar Tifte Biseh, that the first born of a female chamar, you have to be poda with a seh. So Pidyon Peter Hamar. Sein podin lo be egel, lo be chaya. You can't be poda with an egel, with a calf. You can't be poda with a wild animal like a deer. V'lo b'shchuta. You can't be poda with a seh that's already shechted. V'lo b'trefa, nor a seh that's trefa. V'lo b'klayim, nor a seh that's klayim. V'lo b'koy, nor this animal that's a savik chaya, savik behema. Ela b'seh. You need to have a real, full-fledged, purebred seh, that its mother and father are both sheep or both goats. Nevertheless, bottom line is, it says that you can't be poda. Why can't you be poda with a shechted seh? Because apparently it's not a seh anymore. So just like a seh that's shechted is not a seh anymore, a par that's shechted is not a par anymore. So it says, well, no, shayni yasim deal seh semi pesach. No, over there, that halach is only because we derive it from the halacha by Korban Pesach, and by Korban Pesach we said miyos miseh mechiyusei deseh. So it says Gemara ima la'alan zachar tamu ben shana. So wait a second, if we're going to learn this from Korban Pesach, so by Korban Pesach it needs to be male, it needs to not have a mum, it needs to be dafka in its first year of life. Saaf kan zachar tamu ben shana. You're going to tell me in order to do pidyon petach hamar, all of those qualifications are also required. So tamu lomar tifte tifte riba. No, there's a special ribu in the pasuk of tifte tifte that you can even use an animal. It's not a zachar and it's not a tam and it's not a ben shana. Well, itifta tifta riba filu kulunami. But then, so then we should say that even if it's an egel or a chay or a shchut or a treif or a klayim or a kai, we should allow everything for Petr Chamar. Imkain seh, maya hanile. No, we have to balance because it says seh also. So seh is more limiting. Tifta tifta is riba. So we learn that it can't be any of those things, but that it's allowed to be something that's not a zachar, it's not a tamim, it's not a ben shana. This is a fascinating discussion whether an animal that's dead is called by the name of that animal. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Bikurim that if a person is gozes his son that's already dead, he doesn't have to give reishis hages like he would if he's gozes his son that's alive. So the Kesef Mishnah says the raya is from a Tosefta, and the reason is because tzemer of a son that's dead is not considered it's not geza and it's not son. It's not a giza and it's not actually sheep. So Hilchos Chinuch writes that when it comes to behemus kachim that you're not allowed to be gozes the tzemer of a behemus kachim, so maybe that's only while it's still alive, because maybe when it's alive it's considered to be an animal. When it's not alive anymore, it's not considered to be that animal. So that's what the Acharim discussed. Maybe it is considered the animal, it's just not called gozes anymore once the animal is dead. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Esvei on the top of Daf Nun Amud Aleph. Have a good day, everyone.